With that, guys, let's get in to the Word this morning as we continue on in new beginnings. Let me start by saying good morning and thank you for joining us today at Engage Church. I want you to know that today, it's a special day, but it's also a day that we should just expect every Sunday. And so I have prayed for you today. I have prayed for the church this week. I have prayed over the service. And this is going to sound really weird, but I want to share it. So there's some nights that I wake up in the middle of the night, and then it takes me time to fall back asleep because my brain starts turning on things. And the importance of today's Pentecost. Like, this is the day that Jesus breathed life into His church and actually empowered His church to go forth to carry out the work that He called us to do. What's the work He called us to do? The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And so He has called His church, He has empowered His church, and it's funny how the Lord uses things in our life. So who likes ketchup? I know this is weird, just stick with me. Who likes ketchup? Who likes too much ketchup? All right, we got some weirdos in here. Have you ever watched somebody use ketchup and be like, are you about done? Like, that is too much. Anybody? That's my son, Caleb. He loves ketchup. He puts it on everything. He pours it on his mac and cheese. Weird. Okay, he's not in here to defend himself, but it's weird. I don't know. I love him, but it's weird. So, last night, in this moment that I'm laying awake and praying about service today, I don't know who I saw in my dream. It's somebody I knew. I knew who they were. I just don't. Here's what I remember. They had a burger and they had a bottle of ketchup and they were just covering that sandwich with ketchup. And it was too much. The Lord said, and I will pour out in much more excess than this. I hope you understand the weight of that. So I hope you came with an expectation this morning. Because I'll get out of His way if He wants to pour in much more excess. It's for Him to decide how much is enough, not me. And so, really weird. I know, not in my notes, but the Lord chooses to speak to us in ways that we understand. And when we think things are too much, we need to stop. And He says, no, I'll pour out in much more excess. What does that look like for our worship? To pour out ourselves out much more in excess. To worship Him. You could tie that to our giving. You could tie that to any relationship that you wanted. What would it look like if we poured ourselves out in much more excess? Just a question to ponder this morning. We are in week 2 of our New Beginning series. And I want you to know that today is a day of empowerment. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And today is a day that signifies the transformative power of faith that sets up the church. So on this day, Jesus breathed life into the church. And it was on this day that Peter was so emboldened with the Spirit that he went and he preached the most powerful sermon that any pastor wishes to preach, because 3,000 came to know the Lord and were baptized on Pentecost Sunday. That's a huge day. I hope and pray for a day that we get to water baptize 3,000 people in a service. And let me tell you, it's possible in New Sharon, because the Lord says, I will pour out in much more excess. The believers that responded to the message on Pentecost, they experienced for themselves the profound transformation through their faith, believing in Jesus and being baptized in water. That same power and that same transformation that the disciples and the 120 in the upper room experienced on Pentecost, guess what? It's available for us today as well. That should have been a big amen. Are you awake this morning? Do we need to stand instead of sit as we preach today? Let's open our Bibles. If you have your Bible, hold it up. Show everybody you brought your Bible or your cell phone. That works too. Let's open our Bibles to our scripture this morning, and I hope you have it. If not, you saw everyone who raised theirs. Go sit by them so you can share with them. Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Verse 3. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there's a lot there in just four verses. There's a lot there. And so I hope to be able to help us understand what we just read this morning. We're going to teach. Today's a little bit of teaching. And so if you have a notepad, get it out, grab a pen so you can take some notes. Use your notes app on your phone or your iPad. Take some notes. You can go and study it more later. But first and foremost, we're going to start with the word Pentecost. What is Pentecost? What we need to understand is Pentecost was the second great Jewish festival of the Jewish year. Does anybody know what festival Pentecost actually was? It's what a lot of our farmers are starting to put into the ground. It is the celebration of harvest. You're planting now so you can harvest this spring or this fall. So this spring, when they brought the first fruits of the grain from their harvest and presented it as an offering before the Lord, that is what Pentecost is. So today is Pentecost Sunday. When we look at Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, what this symbolizes is God is now starting to harvest souls. It is the start of His harvest. It is His spiritual harvest of souls. Today in the church, today in our faith, there's a dividing line that has been drawn. And that dividing line is between the Holy Spirit's occasional presence and temporary empowerment that we see in the Old Testament. So when we read the Old Testament, we see moments of temporary presence, temporary empowerment. The Holy Spirit would come upon them and give them. Think Samson. What did Samson do? His last act. He asked the Lord, if you would just give me the strength one more time, and he pushed the pillars down of a building and killed more Philistines to death than he did when he was alive. Go read the book of Judges if you need some reference on what we're talking about. But that is the temporary temporary empowerment and presence that we see in the Old Testament. Versus now, on this side of the dividing line, we have the Holy Spirit's continual presence and His sustained empowerment in our lives. And that is available to all of God's people. This day on Pentecost, what did we talk about last week? What was the new beginning that we talked about? It's transitional, right? Jesus, what? He ascended into heaven. He left so He could send the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So today is the day that Jesus sent the Helper, the Counselor, the Empowerer to build the church. So on this day, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the church. He gave the promise to the disciples and said, wait here until the gift of God comes. And here's what they experienced. They experienced a life-changing new beginning. Peter, think of who Peter was prior to Holy Spirit baptism. He made a lot of silly mistakes, didn't he? I align with Peter as Dave is laughing, right? After the Holy Spirit, we see an empowered and emboldened Peter that we have not seen up until this point in Scripture. So they were having a life-changing new beginning with God, because God filled the believers with His presence and He remained with them. So here's what's on this side of the dividing line. The Holy Spirit is permanent. Holy Spirit baptism is a permanent experience, not a temporary experience like it was in the Old Testament. So now we can discuss what took place on that day of Pentecost in verses 2 and 3. Let me put it up here on the screen again. "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them." Why? Why did this happen in this way? The Bible's not real clear on it, but here's what I have arrived at. Because it left no question or doubt in anyone's mind about the authenticity of what was taking place. If we're sitting here today and we hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, but there's no wind, there's no windows open, and we see tongues of fire starting to land on individuals in here, how can you refute that that is God Himself showing up? Versus, "Oh, I did this and I went out and I was baptized." The evidence is that the Lord was present in this moment with His disciples. There was no refuting. In fact, if you read further in Acts chapter 2, what do the people outside of the upper room accuse those in the upper room of doing? Drinking! They're drunk at 9 a.m. And Peter says, don't assume that we're drunk at 9 a.m. Rather, this is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So it leaves no question. There's no way anybody can doubt the authenticity of what was taking place before them. So what God did is He showed His power and His presence through the sound like a mighty rushing wind and through tongues of fire. Now, this isn't the first time in Scripture that we see fire associated with the presence of God, is it? I have some examples for you of those taking place. The first time in Scripture we see God's presence associated with fire is in Exodus 3 when God talks to Moses in the burning bush. The bush never burned up. Didn't consume the bush. Because it was the presence of God that was in that bush, that was fire. Not the bush itself burning, but the presence of God in that bush. Then we see in Exodus chapter 13, I'll put this one up on the screen, verses 21 through 22. And it says, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." If you haven't read that story, go read it. It's in the Bible. And you can join us in our Bible reading plan that happens 7 days a week. And they're laying back there on the table. And then, probably one of the other coolest experiences that we see God show up in fire is in 1 Kings chapter 18. When Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to have a show-off of whose God is real. The prophets of Baal spent all day jumping around and singing and hopping and cutting themselves and doing all the silly things that they thought they needed to do. And then Elijah says, "Come over here and pour some water on mine. Pour even more water. We're going to make this so no fire can start." Then what happens? Fire from heaven falls down and consumes all of it. That's an exciting story. Sorry, I'm excited about it. But the Lord shows up in fire. He shows Himself as the one true God. And what He did on that day was He taught all the followers of Baal that this is a false god. And He is the only true God. Because we see other places in Scripture where God condemns when they cut out their wooden images and then say, "This is my God that I'm setting before my house." You just made the thing. It's worthless. At this point, it's firewood. It's as good as a piece of coal is what it is. It is nothing. But yet they were putting their faith into something that did not exist. And in fact, let me go on another rabbit trail here. The prophets of Baal, that is Satan's design to pull people away from the Lord Jesus. If you are following something that is not the Lord Jesus, hear this. It is of Satan. Period. I don't care what your heritage says about it. I don't care what... If it is not of Jesus, guess what? It is of Satan. That's a heavy word. But it's true. So, that's just to name a few of the moments where we see God show up in fire to accompany His presence. And so the fact that fire was accompanied with the sound that came into the upper room and seeing the results gave the disciples the assurance they needed to know that this was of God and from God and that He was in it and that this was the gift of the Holy Spirit. We talked last week, the disciples had no idea when, they didn't know how, they didn't know where or who the Holy Spirit was. And God says, here I am. Here's all the evidence to go along with it. And at that moment, all those questions were answered. And so the disciples could not deny. The believers out, or the hearers outside could not deny the events that took place in such supernatural ways. Give you a preview of what's coming in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about new beginnings. We're still on new beginnings. Acts chapter 8, what happens to Saul? He had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus, and nobody could deny what they saw happen to Paul. Saul, later called Paul. Supernatural experiences cannot be denied. The Lord Jesus coming into your life, pulling you out of your sin, changing your desires for your addictions and your wants, guess what? Nobody can deny that. This is what we call our testimony, and this is what we are to share with other people. This is who I was, and this is who I am because of Jesus. You ask my high school buddies what Mike Linder would be doing in 2024, I can promise you being a pastor is not on the top list of 100. It's because of who Jesus made me and not because who I am that I stand here before you today. It's who you are today because of Jesus. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus, after His resurrection, says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues." This is what is, this is the very beginning of that. When in the upper room, the Holy Spirit pours out upon these guys. This is Jesus starting the church. This is the Great Commission going into action. They are now empowered to do this. And here's the significance of the Spirit baptism at Pentecost. If you want to go look in the Old Testament, go to the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. This is the Spirit baptism, the Holy Spirit coming upon the believers, is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, which was to pour out His Spirit on all people in the end times. Welcome to the end times. Welcome to the end times, church. So this day in history, this Pentecost, when God sent the Holy Spirit, marked the beginning of the end times. It marked the beginning of the last days of the church. We are in what we call the age of grace. Until Jesus comes back for His church, we are in the age of grace. What is the age of grace? I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you. This is what the age of grace is. This is from the time of Jesus' departure until He gathers His bride, us, the church, unto Him and takes us into eternity with Him. In this time of grace, we are all confronted with the decision to either turn away from our sins and our desires and follow Him or to turn away from Him and follow our sins and our desires. All people will have that decision to make during this time of grace. We're all confronted with it. And I am so thankful that those of you here today have decided to turn from your sinfulness and to surrender your life to Jesus and stand here today before Him, blood-bought by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And I hope and I pray that you are so empowered by the Holy Spirit that you can go out and share your testimony, that others would come to know Jesus Christ because of what you have experienced firsthand. In this time of grace, it's important that when we surrender our lives to Christ, it's not just a one-time thing, but rather then we start to fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. It's not like we get, I'm on the fly here trying to think of an illustration to tie this together, but we don't do something once and then forever get the benefits from it. That doesn't, I'm trying to think of like my kids. So if I have my kids clean something, they did chores one day, they get the benefits of that chore all the time. Whereas our faith, we do get that benefit. I may have not said that 100% correctly there, but unlike my kids who do the chore once and think they forever get the benefits every day, forever, forever and ever, and it's never going to change, Jesus Christ says, when you come into relationship with me, these benefits never leave. Does that track? Are you following me? All right, perfect. Sometimes I should just stick to my notes here. Baptism in the Spirit gives supernatural power to the believer, and it enables them to communicate with boldness and authority the message of truth of Jesus Christ. Think Peter. What did Peter do? He went and he started preaching to those that were outside of the upper room. Now, this does not mean that we are unable to go and share and take part in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission without the presence of the Holy Spirit, without the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Here's what it means. You're not going to do it as well as if you had the Holy Spirit. I have no power of my own. I am a clumsy fella on my own. Sometimes I stumble in my sermons like I just did on my own. Okay? But by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we have a boldness that is irrefutable. Baptism in the Spirit gives us the supernatural ability to share the gospel message with others. And in case you didn't know, and if you don't know, I would suggest that you need to pick up your Bible more and read it, because this is all over in the New Testament. The baptism in the Spirit is available to all who believe in Jesus. Can you say all who believe? All who believe. So if you believe in Jesus this morning, this gift is for you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So when we receive the gift, we can become someone that the Spirit uses to convince others of their lost spiritual condition and their need for a right relationship with Christ Jesus. Did you know that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not for my edification, but rather Jesus' edification? Let that sink in for a moment, if you will. So the Holy Spirit can use, when we've received baptism in the Holy Spirit, to use us as a vessel to move forward the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So, as believers, we should seek, we should desire, and we should pray continually for baptism in the Holy Spirit. We should forever be seeking baptism in the Holy Spirit. We should pray for God to empower us so we can be used in His kingdom. And now, again, that's not to say that we can't be used in effective ways, but how much more can we be used when we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Through this Spirit baptism, we become successors of Jesus' earthly ministry. Basically, He hands the baton to us and says, keep running. It's your turn now. and I've given you the helper to do it. Because he knew we needed the helper to do it. Now, many times in the church today, I think if we're being honest, many times in the church today, baptism in the Holy Spirit, what does it do? It focuses on speaking in tongues. Its focus is purely on speaking in tongues. And here's what speaking in tongues is. It's speaking in other languages that are not previously known. And as I said earlier, speaking in tongues is evidence of Spirit baptism. It is not the reason or the purpose for Spirit baptism. Let me say that again. Speaking in tongues is evidence of Spirit baptism. It is not the reason or the purpose of Spirit baptism. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural expression of God's Spirit. It's what happens when the Spirit comes on us. It is a Holy Spirit-inspired way of speaking, praying, or praising God using a previously unknown language. Sometimes it is a language of known to man. So we look at what happened in the upper room. What did all the people outside hear? All of their languages being spoken by men that don't have the same heritage or come from the same place that they do. So they hear languages known to man. And at times it can even be a heavenly language, which we see from Scripture that Paul calls tongues of angels. So it's a heavenly language. So how does this apply to us? By the way, this is all in your Bible. Open it up and read. You'll read everything that I've shared with you this morning so far. It is in Scripture. This is supported by Scripture. So, if all of this is true, then how does this apply to us today? What does this mean for us in here today? First and foremost, Spirit baptism is for all true believers. For all who have accepted Christ's forgiveness and have given control of their lives to Him. So true believers. So hopefully, for each one of us here today, God has a gift of Spirit baptism for us. What does Joel chapter 2 say? He will pour out His Spirit on all mankind and all times to the end of times. God has the gift of Spirit baptism that He wants to share with each and every one of us today. He wants to empower, He wants to embolden, and He wants to equip us to be His witnesses. For many years, if I speak of my own story, I focused on the gift as the be-all, solve-all. The gift was the thing I was after, because that made A, B, and C happen because of it. And so I sought after the gift of speaking in tongues. And do you know that it's not the gift of the Holy Spirit that we should seek? Rather, it's Lord Jesus that we should seek. See, the Holy Spirit's desire and purpose is not to edify Himself, but rather it is to draw attention to Christ Jesus. And so, if the Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring evidence and point people towards Jesus, do we focus on the Holy Spirit or do we focus on Lord Jesus? That was a question you can't answer. Lord Jesus is the right answer. John 16, verses 13 through 14, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." Verse 14, "He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify Me," being Jesus Christ, "for He, the Holy Spirit, will take what is Mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Christ Jesus. So, what can we say from that? To seek the gift, not the giver. Sorry. Seek the giver, not the gift. I got to read my notes right here. It's right here. Seek the giver, not the gift. Seek the giver, not the gift. Seek Christ Jesus, not baptism in the Holy Spirit. Seek Jesus, not speaking in tongues. Seek the giver, not the gift. The Holy Spirit is not to be sought after as a tool for personal advancement. The Holy Spirit is not your ticket to a promotion. The Holy Spirit cannot be bought. If you go and you read in Acts 8, you see a fellow by the name Simon the Sorcerer. What did he try to do? He tried to purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit from Peter. And Peter actually kind of snaps at him a little bit and puts him in his place. Instead, we seek baptism in the Spirit to be empowered to spread the gospel message. Since it can't be bought, we can't purchase it. Being a member of the church doesn't guarantee it. But rather, God freely gives the gift of His Spirit. If He freely gives of it, He gets to choose some conditions on it. And I want to share a few of those conditions that must exist in our lives before we can receive baptism in the Holy Spirit. Disclaimer, this is not a checklist. This is not why I have all of them and I don't have... Listen, God's timing is His timing. What you should focus on is more of Jesus. Okay? So here's the first one. You can write this down if you want. There's four of them total. We must accept by faith Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, which includes turning away from our sins, our will, and our desires to follow Him. So what that means is we should avoid anything that brings offense to God. So if we've accepted Jesus and we're still struggling with sin, we need to turn away from that. Because is not sin offensive to Jesus? If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus and have never repented of your sins, just know that you have an opportunity coming up that you get to declare and you get to accept the gift of Jesus of forgiveness of sins and a promise and a hope of eternal life. Here's the second thing, the second condition. We must desire to be filled. We must desire to have the Holy Spirit present in our life. We should have an insatiable hunger and a thirst for the baptism in the Spirit. We should have an insatiable hunger for the fullness of God's presence, power, and purpose that the Holy Spirit brings on our life. Is anybody hungry this morning? Like physically, are you hungry? Imagine if you didn't eat for 3 days. All food sounds good. You desire all food. What if we had that same insatiable hunger for more of Lord Jesus in our life? Here's the third one. We must ask in prayer. We must ask. We often will receive Spirit baptism in answer to our prayer. How do you receive if you never ask? Fourth and final, we should expect that God will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. You know, Scripture supports that. Again, these should not be a checklist as to when it will happen, because God gives it His timing. What our focus should be is more of Jesus. More of His presence. Seek Him, keep asking, and keep worshiping Him because He is faithful and He will see His promise come about. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus told His followers, Teresa, you can go ahead and text Caleb if you'd like. Stacy, if you'd like to come on up and just start getting ready, that'd be great. Jesus told His followers to expect the gift of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And He also told them to be continually filled with the Spirit. Why? Because He knew the spiritual power and sensitivity it would bring to their lives. He knew that it would empower us, and He knew that we would understand and be able to navigate conversations and things by His power that we couldn't do on our own. Do you want evidence of that? Pick up your Bible, go to the book of Acts, and read all the way through Revelation. That's the evidence that we have. If we read all about what Jesus' followers did through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will begin to understand the need that we have for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Even today, the Holy Spirit continues to fill Christians. The Holy Spirit continues to fill believers with His power, to fill them with the urgency to carry out His commission, to take His message worldwide. After all, that's the whole purpose of baptism in the Holy Spirit, is to spread the gospel message. Spirit baptism is just as relevant now as it was then. Arguably, I would say that perhaps we need the Spirit's power and guidance more, the same, if not even more, than the early church did to live for Christ and to accomplish His purposes. We live in a weird time. We need the Holy Spirit to straighten out some thinking. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us to our knees and to submit to Christ's authority in our lives. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to bring personal boldness and power of God's Spirit into our lives, so we can carry out the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. It's not so I can be placed on a pedestal and stand before you. That's not what it is. Rather, He desires to breathe the Spirit on each and every one of us so we can be empowered. And guess what? When we step outside of the church, what starts to happen? People start to believe because they're encountering our testimony that is partnered with the Holy Spirit. And so we have the power to effectively spread His message throughout the world, maybe even in our community, maybe in New Sharon, maybe in Grinnell, maybe in Des Moines, maybe in Oskaloosa and Pella, from where all of us are from. Perhaps the Holy Spirit would go before and help us to effectively spread that message. You want to talk about a new beginning? Can you imagine the new beginnings that we would have, that other people would have, in our work of engaging our community for Jesus if we sought and received Spirit baptism? Does anybody desire a revival in New Sharon? That's associated with the Spirit of God. We can't do that of our own power. It doesn't exist. It's not possible. We have to receive Spirit baptism to be empowered in such a way. So let's leave with this. Or let's start to close things down here. Let us be willing vessels for God to empower. Let us be willing vessels for God to use to build His kingdom. God does the baptizing. There's nothing that we can do of our own power. It is God. It is Jesus imparting His Spirit upon us. God does the baptizing, but here's what we're responsible for. How we will respond. How do we respond to it? So my question for you this morning is, how will you choose to respond? Will Spirit baptism be your next new beginning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I just want to take a moment here and ensure that everybody has an opportunity to respond. And first and foremost, it's about having your heart right before the Lord Jesus. It's about having a relationship with Him. So today, you can have a new beginning. New beginning exists for each and every one of us. It is through repenting of our sins and asking Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our life. It is on this day that you can choose to live your life for Him from now until forever. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you raise your hand in response to that? So as we close today, I want to make sure that we have plenty of time, ample time to respond here. I need you to understand that God desires to baptize in the Holy Spirit all who ask and seek. He wants to baptize you in the Spirit. So as the worship team plays, they're just going to play some melody. They're going to give us time to worship and to pray and to seek the Lord. I want to encourage you. Really and truly, I need you to hear me in this. Leave the comfort of your seat. Leave the comfort of your seat behind. Make your way to the front of the church and take this time to start seeking God. Take this time to worship God. Take this time to pray and ask and to expect God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Do not let Satan convince you to not come up. Do not let Satan tell you that it's not for you. Do not let Satan try to keep you in your seat, but rather take the first step. Take that step to come to the front and to start seeking Lord Jesus. This is a new beginning that will literally change your life. Myself and others, if I can ask the board just to be ready to pray with others, we would like to pray for you and with you to receive God's gift of Spirit baptism. So in this time of worship, would you please leave the comfort of your seat and seek Lord Jesus.